Every day is full of options, full of decisions, full of choices, a chance to change, an opportunity to grow. We only get one chance at this life. Every moment is a new moment, a new opportunity to make a change. Our decisions shape us into who we are, but our decisions can change who we'll be. So I know it starts with me. It's my choice to change the norm. It's my decision to make things better. Who else is gonna make a difference? I'm not built to wait for change. I'm made to awaken it. This day, this hour, this moment starts with me. It all starts with me.
As we get into today, we've kind of framed that every time we've done prayer meetings for the last couple of years, we've said that we want to see a move of God in this generation, and we want you to see the gospel get to your friends. And so we believe that prayer meetings and us praying and asking every week, seeking God, is going to be the thing that will start to put that into place for us. We believe that most people come into Christianity or have grown up in Christianity where they've never learned how to pray, and so we want to help do that today. We want to teach you how to pray and sing the Bible. We want to teach you how to pray corporately. I want to teach you how to pray for someone. And so in every aspect of that, we're going to have different elements of this morning that's going to help that be true. And so today, we've used every week to say it starts with me, and then we've put another word or phrase behind that to help us encapsulate. If God is doing stuff in us, then it starts with us, and then what is he doing in us? And so today I want to talk about passion. If you've been in this room long enough, you've heard me say that everybody's a worshiper, that worship is not defined to this room or to Jesus, but everybody has something that has their heart, their joy, and their affection, and out of their heart comes all of these words and responses to that thing. And so I've said that it's not necessarily that thing is the issue, but what happens is when that passion that's supposed to be for God begins to be directed towards something else, that's where it does become an issue. And I've seen so many people in their relationship with Jesus say, okay, here's this or that, or there's this reason or that reason why I'm not that passionate. And what I would say for every one of us is that passion should be one of the markers of your relationship with Jesus, that you have a deep-seated passion for the name of Jesus to make him known and to know him. And so I've been, ever since we brought it up in This Is Revival, I've been revisiting the story of this guy whose name is Count Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf. And we have a picture of him. Ka-chow. All right? So they don't paint him like they used to. And so his story is unbelievable because he's a rich aristocrat, right? So his dad's got fat amounts of money, sends him off to go to school. While he's at school, he starts hanging with these dudes, and they start developing this group of guys that would gather together, that they would study the scriptures together, they would pray with one another. They gave themselves a sweet name called the Honorable Order of the Mustard Seed, which if you ain't down with HOSM or HOMS, then you're not down, right, I guess, I don't know. But that's where the HMS comes from on all the English ships. Just kidding. All right, so when they start praying and asking, going together, he, while he's traveling around Europe, goes to a museum. And in that museum, there's this picture, and it's called the Ese Homo, I guess. That's the best way that I can go for it. All right, so it's this picture of Jesus. And in the picture of Jesus, they show the crown being shoved into his skull, blood running down his face. And at the bottom of this picture in Latin is this phrase, "All this I have suffered for you, what will you do for me?" And so he said, Zinzendorf said, the moment that he saw that picture, that it forever gripped his heart. That there was this moment that all of a sudden he understood Jesus, had spent time with Jesus, been a part of prayer meetings, studied the Bible, like did all of the good things. And there was this moment there that it said that Jesus just gripped his heart. And so there's two quotes that I want to share with you. The first is that I've loved him for a long time, but I've never actually done anything for him. From now on, I will do whatever he leads me to do. That was quote number one. And then the second is this. I have but one passion. It is he being Jesus. It is he alone. The world is the field, and the field is the world. And henceforth, so from now on, that country shall be my home where I could be most used in winning souls for Christ. Count Zizzy. All right, so Isaiah 26:8, there's this national conference called Passion. They put out worship CDs every year. And the theme over that conference has been Isaiah 26:8, and it reads like this. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and your renown are the desires of our heart, or passion of our hearts. So your name, your renown are the passions of our heart. And so I want to take that being passion, desire, everything that we have, we give towards Jesus. And then we're going to read James 2, verses 14 to 26. So page 841, Bible under your chair. We're going to read these verses together, and then Caleb's going to come up and crush in some worsh. All right, James 2, 14 and 26. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder, or say Mufasa. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? So also faith apart from works is dead. And so here's the conversation that'll happen in our part of the world. And I say our part of the world because we're in the Midwest, and in the Midwest, there's more cities that have a Bible knowledge compared to other parts of the world. And what's true of our city is I think we're number 5 when it comes to Bible awareness, but our percentage isn't that awesome, right? So it's, I think 46% of our town would say that they're savvy when it comes to the Bible. If you look at all the other towns that aren't that good, we're only percentage points ahead of them. And so when it comes to that, like, it's, we have this idea that there's a lot of Jesus around here, and so therefore that means something. And so James 2 brings out the scenario of there's somebody in the room who says, I don't need to have faith. I just need to do a lot of stuff for God, and God will love me. And there's another person in the room who says, I don't need to do enough stuff for God. I just need to have faith, believe the right things about God, and God will love me. And James says that both of you are wrong because of the way that you're going about it. So to group number one, like, Jesus isn't going to fall more in love with us because we do stuff, right? So it's not like God is sitting in heaven. He looks at all of us who are in the room, and he's counting attendance and is going, whoo, like, you're in here. That just makes up for all of the bad stuff. Cha-ching, right? Like, we're getting credit in the bank account of God. So that's not it. And it doesn't matter how much we do in the whole world, that there's a lot of people who do a lot of nice things, that it has zero to do with Jesus. And so us doing nice stuff is not the end. And then he also says that there's a group of people in the room who say, if I just believe the right things about God, then that's all that matters, that I don't have to do anything else. I just need to believe in God, and then that'll be okay. And James says both of those can't be true. And so what does he say? He's like, if you say you believe in God, what does that matter? Because even the demons believe and they shudder. They say Mufasa when they hear his name, right? So at the name of Jesus, every demon is just, whoo, and they don't say do it again, all right? It's just a very moment. All right, so that's one. And then he also says that there's every one of these actions in us can produce faith and be the result of faith. So what does he say? When you understand rightly who God is, it's going to cause action to come out of your heart. And as you do those actions, it's going to cause your faith in God to resound. And as your faith in God resounds, it's going to cause you to do more actions. Faith works, faith works, faith works. So it's not either or, it's both. That we have a deep reservoir of faith and right belief in God, and out of that right belief in God comes action following up with God. So when we lay those as the foundation, what does that have to do with passion? Because I think when you think rightly about God, it has to produce passion in your soul. That no one who thinks about, pursues, knows, spends time with Jesus goes, meh. I'm meh to him today, right? In the same way that I don't wake up next to my wife and she would ask me, how do you feel about marriage today? Meh. Right? No wife would be like, everything that I've ever dreamed of, I'm glad that your affection towards me right now is meh. Like, every day when me and my friends were 12 and we were playing what's going to happen when we get married, every one of us said, you know what, someday I'd love to wake up next to a guy who goes, meh. Right? No, what happens? Like, every day you're married, there's this like, oh, marriage is so awesome. It's so great. And are there tough days? Yes. Are there days where it's not as fun as others? Yeah, because you got stuff to do. Like, on Saturday, there's a lot of work to be done around the house. So it's not like you're frolicking with the Swiffer. Right? You're just like, this is everything I ever hoped for, right? Dry Swiffer, and then you got to reload and wet Swiffer that thing. Like, no one's going, this is everything I've ever dreamed of. But what is it? When there's a deep amount of faith and love, then it can cause me to do a lot of works. So when Rachel says, hey, Justin, here's some stuff we need to do today, I don't go, ugh, all this work you're having me do is just so you'll love me. Like, that's not my response to it. It's out of deep love for you. Can you ask me to do whatever you want? Yes. And what is my response to that? In a moment, I may go, would I rather do something else? Maybe. But what is my response to this moment? It's always yes. It's always, let's get this thing done. Let's do it. And so what does Rachel want? Rachel doesn't want me Swiffering the house going, and she's like, what's wrong? I'm like, I'm just so ticked off that you asked me to Swiffer, right? I mean, I love you. I do. But, like, I'm just so ticked doing it. No. But is she asking me to put on a fake smile, right? Like, when I'm Swiffering, that I'm like, I'm singing in the rain. Just like, she's not asking that either, right? But what happens? There's this moment of, man, with deep love for you, I can do a lot of things. And so when we come into this room, the temptation for us is to think that we're punching the ticket and that bit is what causes God to be glad. That us just punching the ticket, us just doing the thing, us just checking the box, that God's going, well, I'm glad you checked the box today. And we could pull back and say, better to check the box than not to check the box, right? I don't want to live my life like that. Like, I don't want to live my life in the better this than that one, right? I mean, better than the nothing alternative. Right? So what does make the heart of God glad? When we start to recognize who he is and start to develop richness in him, that it causes us to go, everything that I can do, I can be glad doing because of who you are. Everything that I've done, everything that's in my life, everything that's in my soul, it's all coming out because of who you are. It's not to earn your favor. It's not to earn your support. It's not to earn your love. But this flows freely out of me because of who you are. And because of all that you've done and because of all that you've given, I can gladly do this. And so we'll reset again to the homie Zinni, all right? Count Zinzendorf. And we'll recap and just put that photo up on the screen, right? And just say, if you saw this picture and walking by and you say all these things that Jesus has suffered to gain your heart, right? Even what the book of James says, I think it's chapter 4, verse 5, that he yearns jealously over the spirit that he's made to dwell within us. All these things Jesus has done for us. And so what have we done for him? Right? That of all the things that God has put himself through and suffered in our place so that he could save and redeem us, then how are we giving our hearts back to him? Right? And it's not God sitting in heaven, right? Like, it's Saving Private Ryan saying, you better earn it. Like, you better earn the life that I gave. You better, he's not doing that. But when you recognize all that God has done in order to save and redeem your heart, every one of our responses is, I would gladly give my life to him. I would gladly give all that I have and all that I know and all that is mine. I will give that to make Jesus known and to know him, right? And so again, the two quotes from Zinzendorf being that I loved Jesus for a long time, but I never did anything for him. From now on, whatever he leads me to do, I'm going to do, all right? So I could say for many of you in the room that you've probably loved Jesus for a long time, but how is that love or that faith equated to action that has made his name known, right? And what did Zinzendorf say? Having come to experience Jesus like that he has one passion, that it's Jesus alone. The world is the field, and the field is the world, and wherever Jesus says, this is your home, wherever you could be most used in making Jesus known, that's where he's going to live. Wherever he can be most effective in making Jesus famous, that's where he's going to put his feet and his heart and his soul. And so Isaiah 26:8, just the last part, the name and the renown of Jesus is the desires of our heart. The name of Jesus, the renown, the fame of Jesus, that is the desire of our heart, the passion of our heart. And I think that passion does get reflected in our action. Like, I don't think there's a moment where you can say, I am deeply passionate about something and no one knows. I just don't think there's anybody who's passionate like that. That they're so quietly passionate that they're more passionate than everybody else. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, there's secret fans that are so crazy that no one could tell the difference. But in every way, when people get a little fanatical, it gets a little crazy. It gets a little obsessive, gets a little bit weird, goes a little bit over the top, slightly annoys all of us. But it is a defining characteristic of their life. And for me, I want everything that I do and every bit of my heart and every bit of my passion to be defined by, I am passionate about knowing Jesus. I am passionate about making him known, and my life will be a reflection of that deep passion. And so here's the truth of today. You could walk in saying, my passion level for Jesus is zero, right? Stayed up way too late with my friends last night. We got a little bit passionate in the Xbox, and this next thing you know, it's 4 o'clock, and we were like, oh, we're not really tired yet, but, right? You could say that. Maybe. So right now, you're just thinking about keeping your eyeballs open, right? My passion right now is potentially sneaking in a nap during that first little prayer session. Okay, so that could be there, right? Your passion could be zero. Your passion could be like -1,000. You could be like, I'm not passionate about God. I'm passionate against him, right? You could be there. Or you could just be like freaky hijiki up at the top, just kicking ninja flips all over the place. You're just waiting for me to shut up happy, right? You could be anywhere in that. And what I would tell you is knowing who God is and knowing what he does and knowing what's in his heart, that we're not even close to what God is wanting to do in our hearts. And so when Caleb leads worship, it's not us just saying this karaoke sesh is sweet, right? Because let's be honest, we'd all probably rather sing other songs, right? So it's not, man, Caleb, you're doing a great job up there. Vokes are strong today, right? Or us next to our friend going, like, I learned to sing next to my dad in church by not actually singing, but just mouthing the words and making it look like I was killing it. All right, that could be you, right? Or nor is it us just going, it's like I tell Caleb all the time, we've almost mocked this forever. There's these things that come up in songs that they'll say something is happening, right? That we'll shout because of your great love, and no one shouts. And we'll dance because of your great love, and no one dances. We're like, and I'll sing because you are good, and I'll dance because you are good, and I'll shout because you are good. You are good to me, yeah, yeah, and I'll sing because you are. So, like, I'm sitting there going, this doesn't make any sense to me because we just said, and I'll shout. I will shout because you are good. Or, like, I'll dance because you are good, and I'll dance because, right? And what's the dance move? Like, you had a shoulder twitch, and I'll dance because, right? But if we put on your jam right now, I don't even know what your song is, right? But if we put on your jam, like, everyone would be like, oh, no. And, like, you would just start going crazy because we put your jam on, right? And that's just some stupid song that you're not going to care about in, like, a couple days. When Missy Elliott came out at the Super Bowl, I about flipped my stuff. I mean, I literally almost flipped a whole table full of food because Missy be putting it down. She's the hottest round. And if you want to, woo-woo, come and get her now. I mean, I was like, no, this is like 20 years ago and I'm back. Like, it was on. Right? And that was just Missy Elliott, man. She's like in her 50s right now. She's old enough to be a grandma, and Missy's out. Right? And that's just a stupid song that I could say for a long time I had not thought about. I've been thinking about it since, but up to that point, had not thought about it. Right? And it's just a dumb song. And so I can say, Caleb and I never coordinate this stuff. I do know one of the songs he'll sing is about passion. I just happened to sneak by and heard him saying, passion, and I was like, hey, all right. So I have no idea, right? And it's not like Caleb gets up there and I'm like, you know what, you need to get excited, right? You get up there and sing a song involving dance, and if they don't dance, then you can just stop and be like, you dumbs. Start, like, that's, we don't ever do it like that. But what we do say, right, that if it's true that you recognize what Jesus has done, in the same way that Buddy the Elf could not contain himself when he fell in love, every one of us is in the same category. That when you understand who Jesus is and what he has done, it makes your heart just go a little crazy. So yeah, can you sing out of, you know, pitch and tone and note and whatever? You can tell I don't sing at all because I just threw out all kind of random terms. But are you just willing to sing passionately? Because yes. And if there's opportunity for you to shake your groove thing, are you willing to do that? Yes, because love makes you do dumb stuff sometimes. And most of the time, it involves singing and dancing publicly. So, I mean, I have no idea what's going to happen there, but Caleb's going to come up, and we're going to get ready to worship together. So why don't you stand up to your feet? I'll pray for us, and then we're going to get after it. So, Jesus, today, God, I thank you that, God, the cross of Jesus is enough to save every one of our hearts. And that, Jesus, regardless of how we've come into this, God, regardless of whether we were born into a Christian home and a Christian family and have always grown up in Christian church, God, or this is relatively new for us, God, regardless of our passion level, that, God, some of us are passionate about trying to stay awake. God, some of us are passionate about a million different things. But I pray tonight, Jesus, or this morning, Jesus, that our hearts would begin to be engaged with the passion in the name of Jesus. That, God, knowing you and being with you and spending time with you would be incomparable to anything else. That, God, we wouldn't find ourselves falling in love with other lesser things, but that, Jesus, this morning, our hearts would come alive in the knowledge of Jesus. Our hearts would be encouraged by what you've done for us, Jesus. And we wouldn't feel pressure. God, we wouldn't feel like heaven's just sitting over us, looking at us and saying, you better earn it. But that, God, when we rightly understand all the things that you've done and all the things that you've given for us and all the ways that, God, you spent your life to save our souls, then, God, we can passionately respond. That, God, the passion of heaven was to come into the earth and suffer on the cross in order to save and redeem all mankind. So, God, would the passion of our hearts be to return all of the passion of heaven back to you, God? And that Revelation 5 says that there's going to be a gathering around the throne that says, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, that he has received to himself every tribe and every tongue and every nation, that the passion of heaven was to save the earth. And God, would our response to that, God, that we're one of those that you've saved, God, be that we will passionately give our lives to you. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's worship.